الحمد لله رب العالمين. This topic now deals with what appears to be contradictory in the Quran. And I will repeat that the meaning of contradiction is that two verses may contrast such that the implication of one may prevent the implication of the other, like one of them may be affirming something, the other may be negating it. The second point, it is impossible that contradiction between two verses that are news oriented to exist in the Quran, because this will entail that one of them is a lie, and the other is originating from ignorance, and in both situations this is impossible to come from Allah. And the evidence for this is وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, verse 4, 87, and who's truer in statement than Allah, and also 4:122, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, and whose words can be more truer than that of Allah. Secondly, it is impossible that contradiction exists between two verses that are law oriented, that pertain to the Sharia, to the ruling, because the latter verse would be abrogating to the former one. The latter one would be abrogating to the former one if this occurs. قال الله تعالى, in this effect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in 2:102, ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. This is 106, I'm sorry. 2106. So if abrogation is affirmed, then the ruling implied in the first verse doesn't exist anymore, and it cannot be considered as being in opposition to the one that comes later. So whatever a verse do we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring a better one or similar to it. Then whenever you think that there is a contradiction, then try to reconcile between the two verses, and if that doesn't become clear to you, then you should cease and take the matter to the knowledgeable ones, and take the matter to the knowledgeable ones. The scholars of Islam had mentioned many examples to that which may appear to be contradicting, and they have clarified the reconciliation between these verses vividly. And these are the ones who are firmly established in knowledge. And from the best of books in this respect is the book called Daf'u Iham al-Ittirab an Ay al-Kitab, repelling the delusion of confusion from the book, from the verses of the book. And this is by the Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shanqiti rahimahullah. Take for example the following verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Quran that it is hudan lil muttaqin, that the Quran is hudan, guidance for the muttaqin, those who are yani fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and are pious, that it is guidance to those who are muttaqin. This is in the Quran, verse 2, in the chapter 2, of the Noble Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. This is a book whereof there is no doubt a guidance to those who are muttaqeen, the pious and the righteous. Also consider now the other saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now another verse. Now see how they, you may think that they are contradictory. Let's take now the other verse. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. Now in another verse we read that the Quran is a guidance for mankind. This is Al-Baqarah 185, the same chapter. 2185. The month of Ramadan was revealed. Now you read here the Quran is a guidance for mankind. Now in the beginning we read that the Quran is a guidance for the pious and the righteous. So in the last one it is more general. It encompasses the righteous and the unrighteous because it mentions mankind. So in the first verse, the guidance of the Quran in the first verse is special to the pious, and in the other one it is general, encompassing mankind. And reconciling these two verses is by saying that the guidance in the first verse is the guidance of success and benefit, and the guidance in the second one is the guidance of direction, directing mankind, showing them the way. Take another example, Surah Ash-Shura 42 verse 52. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Verily you guide to an upright path. And indeed, the last statement, and indeed you are guiding mankind to the straight path. Then in another verse we read in Surah Al-Qasas verse 56 now, compare the two verses now. And verily you Muhammad are indeed guiding mankind, and now look here, verily O you Muhammad, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom he wills. In the first statement of that verse earlier, and verily you Muhammad are indeed guiding mankind to the straight path, and now here, verily you Muhammad, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides whom he wills. These two verses are reconciled in the sense that the first verse, that verily you guide to the upright path, to the straight path, this is the guidance of showing, directing, showing the way, directing. Yes, this is fine, no problem with that. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam guides and shows the way, directs mankind to the truth. And the other verse, however, وَإِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ. Verily, O you Muhammad, cannot guide those whom you like. Mean you cannot guide them the guidance of success, which changes the heart. This is only to Allah. This is only to Allah, not to one else. Okay, let's take also other verses which would seem contradictory in the understanding of the reader. Take for example chapter 3 verse 18. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم. Allah bears witness that there is no God, no, none has the right to be worshipped but He, no true God but He, and the angels and those who have knowledge. Okay, so we conclude from this verse that there is no true God except Him. There is لا إله إلا الله. Also we read in Al Imran similarly, the same meaning in 362. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And there is no God except Allah, truly. And also we read in Al-Qasas in 20, yes, and La ilaha illallah, none is right to be worshipped but Allah, no God, no true God but Allah. Take also 28:88, ولا تدع مع الله إلها آخر. Look at this now. And don't invoke besides Allah another God. But in the first he said there is no God but He. And now Allah is saying, and invoke not any other God along with Allah. So this would seem that there are other gods besides Allah. And this would appear contradictory. Take furthermore, in the same, concerning the same matter, 11:101 Surah Hud. فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء لما جاء أمر ربك وما زادوهم غير تتبيب. Surah Hud, verse 101. We wrong them not, but they wrong themselves. So their aliha, their gods. Oh, gods? Gods besides Allah? Well, this is what Allah is saying. So their gods other than Allah whom they invoked profited them not when there came the command of your Lord, nor did they add not to their lot but destruction. So these first two verses negate godship totally, meaning to other than Allah. In the other, there is godship to other than Allah. Now, understanding these two, reconciling these two, is that the divinity or godship in the first two, where Allah affirmed them for Himself, is the true godship, is the true godship. The first two verses refers to the true godship, while the other two refers to al-aliha al-batila, false gods or false godship. We know this clearly as Allah stated it in another verse. You see how we take the verses together and not single them out, because this would be following the mutashabih, following that which is not entirely clear and leaving that which is entirely clear. But the way of the believers who are firmly established in knowledge is that they take that which is mutashabih, not entirely clear, to that which is entirely clear, and everything will be considered then clear. Take now the muhkam, clear, 22:62. Or, although essentially in these verses, even if you think them deeply, there is no real contradiction. But it may be, it may seem, or it may appear, quote unquote, to some. In Surah Al-Hajj 22:62, we read, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That is because Allah, He is the truth, you see. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ, and whatever they invoke besides Him, هُوَ الْبَاطِلِ, is batil, is falsehood. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَيِّ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ, and verily Allah is the most high, the most great. Are we clear so far? Are these matters clear so far? Inshallah, we're going to add one more, inshallah. Are so far these issues clear to you, inshallah? Are you sincerely sensing where we are directing the issue towards the fundamentals? Because someone could pop up now or later and say, take this verse, this is contradictory. I hope you are beginning to sense where the focus of this room is going. Tayyib, inshallah. Let's take another situation. Take the following verse. Take Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 28. وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا آبَاءَنَا وَاللَّهُ أَمَرَنَا بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَةِ. Let's take that part, Sister Ahmad, and when they commit a fahisha, evil, unlawful sexual intercourse, all kinds of evil, they say, we found our fathers doing it and Allah has commanded us of it. Say, look at this statement now, say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, Allah never commands the fahsha, this evil, the evil deeds in all of their forms. Do you say of Allah which you know not? Let's cut it, inshallah, Sister Ahmad. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ, nay, Allah never commands of fahsha. Fahsha means all evil kinds of things. Now, you read this, and then you will move. This is chapter 7. You will reach chapter 17 now, and you go to verse 16. وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Now look, read please. And when we decide to destroy a population, we first send a definite order. And to those among them, we first increase the number of those who are given the good light of life. Then they transgress therein, and thus the word of the torment is justified against them. This could also be translated to following. It could be translated, and if we, or when we decide to destroy a town, a population, then we command mutrafiha, those who are given the good things of life, then they transgress therein, and thus the word of torment is justified against them, then we destroy it with complete destruction. Some may come and say, this is in contradiction to the verse up there, where Allah does not command evil in any way. Now, in the first verse, in 7, which in the first statement, where Allah says that He doesn't command all evil, you know, never Allah commands of fahsha, this refers to His legal command, because the commands of Allah are of two types. This is the basics now. The commands, the fundamentals, the commands of Allah are of two types. Legal, shar'i means in Arabic, and universal, per trains to the pre-decree of Allah. The commands of Allah are of two types, legal, and when Allah commands something legal, do and don't do, this is called shar'i. This is called shar'i, meaning legal commands. And the position of people towards legal commands is that some of them may obey, some of them don't obey. Allah commands people to believe, some of them believe, and some of them don't believe. And with respect to His legal commands, Allah never ever commands any evil. Do and don't, there is no evil whatsoever. Allah does not command people to do evil legally. Why? Because He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl 16:90, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغِي. Verily, Allah commands justice and benevolence. Verily, Allah enjoys al-adil, justice and ihsan, good in all of its forms. Continue, please. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, and giving also وَإِيْتَاءِ الْقُرْبَى, and to give help to the kith and kin, and forbids الْفَحْشَاءِ. There it is. And forbids al-fahsha, forbids all evils, and al-munkar, all prohibited by the Islamic law, by the Sharia. So we know from then that inna al-amra al-shar'i, the legal command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never commands anything which is unlawful or prohibited, evil deeds or you name it, or shirk or disbelief, never. However, concerning the second verse, this refers to Allah's universal command, al-amr al-kawni, kawni, say to the thing, kun, be, and it will be, in accordance to the in accordance with the pre-ordinances of Allah. And this pertains to His Mashi'ah, and this relates to His Mashi'ah, to His will. Whatever Allah wills will pass, and whatever Allah does not will not pass. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may will something, it will occur even though He dislikes it. Allah willed the creation of Satan, yet He hates him. So the second one, when Allah commanded that those who were doing well amongst them, this pertains to His universal command. And His universal command, bear in your minds that His universal command is linked to His Mashi'ah, to His will, and is linked to His wisdom. Certainly in the creation of Iblis, Shaitan, there are many wisdoms, and it is linked to His Mashi'ah, as Allah states in Surah An-Nahl 16 verse 9, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Verse 9. Many verses in the Quran, many. You can take An-Nahl verse 40 as well, and you can take Yasin 82. This would be in Yasin 36, 82, what I said. But there are many similar. Verily our word unto a thing, when we intend it, it is only that we say unto it be, and it is. So Allah willed for them, then willed for that to occur in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17 verse 16. That willing is related to His universal will. He willed it to occur. He did not command it from the legal aspect, because from the legal aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands only that which is justice, and he forbids all evil. And of course, alhamdulillah, there are many things like this in the Quran, and when you examine them thoroughly, alhamdulillah, when you refer them to the verses that are entirely clear, then everything will be clear. And when you refer them to the foundations in terms of understanding the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then anything that seems to be unclear will be very, very clear. And all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of this. On this note, inshallah, we stop. And if you have any questions, then please go ahead.